When I was younger, actually my whole life, I always heard my voice from the outside. Like whenever I was speaking to somebody, I always heard how I sounded to them. And I hated that. That made me feel really alien, and that made me feel really judged. Like I was always judging myself when I was speaking to people because I would hear my own voice echoing as I spoke. And I hated that so much. It made me feel so scared to like talk to people. And it made me feel so alone and like judged. Like I would always judge myself from a third person perspective whenever I was around anybody. And so that made it hard to interact with people. That made it hard for me to try new things or do new things, like in high school and then also after high school. And it was really difficult for me, and I never took any like help for it. Like I know you can get therapy for that. You can get therapy to help you with social anxiety. You can also get put on medication to help you with social anxiety, and I never got any of those things. And I just never got it, you know. And so I had to learn how to like not do that, like not listen to myself third person when I was speaking to people, and how to instead remain like have an air of confidence, remain with an air of confidence. It's not that I was confident, it's that I had to learn how to remain with like the perspective, like the outer perspective of confidence. And the thing is, so confidence is a learned trait. You do not have it. Nobody has it. You have to learn it, acquire it, practice it, adapt, like adopt it, basically. And so you adopt it by practicing it. And the thing is, this is how I learned how to do it. So I was always, again, really shy. And I was also good at appearing like I was not shy. But the thing is that instead of using force to appear confident, I learned how to use attention, okay? Like attention on other people to feel and appear confident. So the attention was not on me anymore, you know? And I think we all do that subconsciously, but I'll tell you in the way that I did it, maybe it can help you. If you ever examine me in like a social setting, even now, you'll notice that like I don't like when people talk about me to myself. Like I don't appreciate having eyes on me in a personal setting. Online is different. Let's not go there. But in the purse, because online is a project. It's like work. It's like detached from present moment, you know. The way people view social media and judge social media, it's still equally as intense probably as in a social setting, but there's a lot more room for artistry in the way that you express yourself. When you do it on social media, which is why, if you notice, most of my content is like either artistic or musical or just like talking. But I'll rarely talk about myself. Like, this is the first podcast I think I've done in a while where I'm putting the attention and the focus on me. I also don't like to share my personal stuff, you know? I don't. Nope. I have secrets within secrets. And people know. Like, people know. But, like, they're not bad. It's just I've been through a lot of stuff. And so because of that, I'm constantly, growing in the opposite direction. So I put a lot of work, time, focus, attention, energy on my mind. So, like, if you're around me for 24 hours, like, you'll notice that I'm always either like studying or I have to have quiet, like quiet time, like really, so I can like think and like hear what's going on, you know? Because otherwise I don't know what's going on, so then I get into moods, and if I'm moody, it's because there's something going on I haven't worked with or dealt with yet. And so I need my quiet time. to just like, you know, go with it. Another thing I actually want to talk about is stuttering. Okay, listen. So I don't stutter. I've never had a stutter. I've never stuttered. I had someone tell me, like, I think 2 weeks ago or something, that they used to have a stutter. And I know people as well, like, that have stutters, like family friends and stuff. So with stutter, what it is, guys, in terms of confidence, really quickly, I just want to talk about this. Can I? Is that okay? I want to discuss what I learned around stuttering. And, it's interesting because I'm starting to stutter, but the thing is that stuttering is, it's again that third person perspective on your speech. So you'll notice that sometimes in my podcasts, I go ham for like an hour or whatever. Like I don't stop to say, I don't like stutter, you know, and it's because I'm not judging my speech. If you judge your speech, you are going to become nervous in the presentation of it, and that is going to give way to a stutter or anxiety, you know. When I was in high school, I never used to be able to sneeze without wanting to pass out and die because I hated every aspect of my appearance, my sneeze, if it was that, like my voice, like I was a mess. I couldn't be with myself. I couldn't accept anything about, like, I hated everything about my, like, existence. From my physical body to the way that I felt in my physical body, I felt so awkward. I felt so out of sync with it, you know? I felt so just awkward all the time. And, so then I learned how to grow out of that, you know? And you do it by, like, wanting to refine, I guess. And wanting to, but then I got really heavily into partying, so, like, you know, like, you have to choose, like, what, like, the lesser of the two evils, but, it did help. Like, different things in life, they can help us. Like, say you don't like how you look, like, go get a tattoo, because that can help you. Or a piercing, you know, in a way. And then, like, the thing is about the human mind is that it molds its self-perception around its perceived identity. So the way you see yourself, that's how you're going to think of yourself. So if you see yourself, and that's how you're going to be to the world. So if you see yourself as awkward and stuttering, you're going to be awkward, you're going to stutter, and the whole world is going to see you in that way as well, and in lacking confidence. And it doesn't matter how the world sees you. That's not the point I'm trying to make. I'm saying that it'll leak out into your outer reality, you know, that's like the formula. So, like, whatever you keep within your subconscious, not even your conscious mind, not even your conscious, but your subconscious, the way that you feel about yourself, your feeling, right? Because the subconscious mind is the body, and the subconscious mind is also being rooted within the body, okay? Like, if you study Carl Jung, he also talks about this. So when we want to heal anything, any trauma, anything from childhood, any stutter, stumble, fumble, whatever, we want to go to the subconscious mind. We want to go to the subconscious mind. This is how you heal the human being, the energy being that the human is. That's how you heal them, you know, is you go to the subconscious. You don't just touch the surface level. Like, that's why you see people who make body modifications, but, like, they don't feel happy, or healed from that certain, like, way of seeing themselves. Like, if they don't like how they look and they, like, do something about it, it's probably not going to go away, that dissatisfaction, you know? You have to target it at the subconscious mind. So, Seema, how do you do that? I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to tell you what I did to get over feeling unconfident. So, you know, the only way is to study how your own subconscious works, because you can't know what animal you're trying to conquer until you learn about it, right? So you have to learn about how you work, how your subconscious works, and what's in there, what's stored in there. And you can study what's stored in there by studying what is already manifested into your 3D reality, because that's how you draw the bridge back into what's going on inside. Study your life. Who is in your life? What are they reflecting back to you? Remember, each person is a mirror back unto us. Each person, each relationship we have, it shows us our own relationship with ourself. It shows us an aspect of the relationship we have with ourself. In fact, let me get clearer, okay? It shows us the aspect of the being within that has an interpersonal relationship with the all-pervasive being or super soul or God within. So how do I explain this in a way that people understand? So within every person, there are different archetypes, okay? You can even see this in tarot. You can see this in mythology. You can see this in psychology. Like, there's so many studies that discuss this at the base level. We all have archetypes. So, I'm sorry, I just clicked my phone. I can't believe it's only been 10 minutes I've been talking for, and I've literally talked so much, like, on so many subjects. I talk so much, and it's so crazy, the fact that I, like, you have to sit down and, like, listen, like, if you want to understand what I'm saying, because it takes you through a journey. Like, my words, they're taking you somewhere, so listen, you know, because, like, I go deep, you know. So, it's amazing that I'm only at 11 minutes. So, the thing is that, you know, all the different theologies hold the truth that we all have various archetypes within ourselves. So, Sema is not just Sema. Sema is also, well, we can say Sema 1, Sema 2, Sema 3, Sema 4, iterated, okay? Now, imagine this iteration going on for an infinite amount of times. Do you understand how large infinity is? Infinity is measurable. It's immeasurable, okay? So each person has an infinite amount of archetypes within them. Now, these archetypes can be chalked down to, let's say, like a few basic categories of archetypes, and this can be illustrated in tarot, or this could be illustrated in various forms of psychology, or even when you study bipolarism, because bipolarism is, you guys have to understand, mental illnesses are not illnesses. They are indications, okay? You're not ill. You are not ill. Like, I won't let you think that you're ill. It's an indication of a lack of self-realization around that certain topic. Let's say it's depression. You have depression. Well, then you have a lack of self-realization around your depression and around what is making you depressed and around the truth of who you are sans depression, without depression, right? So, same thing with bipolarism. Bipolarism is not making peace, or not realizing the duality within, not realizing the different emotions, like the different ways of being when these emotions become you. That's what bipolarity is. And no, it's not split personality. It's not that you're split. You're not split. Like, you're whole, you know. Each side of you is valid, though you do not need to let it become you or overwhelm you or harm you. You must view it as something beautiful. You must view it as different sides of you. That is the point of bipolarism. Same thing with depression. You're depressed? Great. That's amazing. Why? Because it's teaching you something. It's showing you. It's guiding you. Like, what you need to see as to what you need to see, you know. Study it. I studied my depression, and it led me to me. That is what I did. It led me to myself. It showed me who I am in all of my multifacetedness and all of my, you know, spiritual, like, glory, let's say, you know. Every person has this. Every person has this. Every person has this. Don't think that you don't. You do. And if people, again, had their subconscious wiped clean, restored by, you know, through you know, true unconditional love, you know, then they will be free of their stutter. They will be free of any mental illness. They will be free to be anew, right? This is what it means to be renewed, let's say, in Christian or Catholic practices, renewed in Christ, that, as what they say, right? This is what that means. What is Christ? Christ is Christos. What is Christos? Christos is the crystalline structure. You guys have to know this. The crystalline structure within the grid of the DNA of the body. So we have, you know, different cultures call it different things. You can call it Christos. It's like it's a secretion. It's a liquid, you know. And you move that liquid up the spine. This is what yogis do. This is what I do. This is what I've been doing for 5 years. You move the liquid up the spine and you change. It's jarring, it's shocking, you die. Like, it's, how do I explain it? It's, you can look up Kundalini Awakening if you're interested in what I'm talking about right now, but it's like, you shed a lot of karma, and then your DNA changes as well. You can look it up, because I can't explain it fully. It's just rebirth. It's just like you meet your creator, but you're still in a body, you know? So some people call it enlightenment, whatever. The scientific, or the Ayurvedic scientific description is just a Kundalini awakening. Just Google that if you're interested. But, and can everybody have this? Yes. Yes, we all have the ability to have this and to self-realize to the fullest extent. The most jarring, cataclysmic, I don't know, okay, how that word goes. Cataclysmic, is that how it is? I'm going to Google that because I hate not knowing things. But it's like the biggest rebirth you can have. And yeah, you do change, like you change on a soul level. Is it cataclysmic? I'm so sorry. I'm annoyed at the fact that I don't know. Cataclysmic. See, I knew. I knew I was wrong. I knew it. I thought it was cataclysmic, but I didn't want to say it because I wasn't sure. So I just said cataclysmic, but I knew it was cataclysmic. Okay, whatever. It's fine. But anyway, I wanted to like share a little bit about how I was when I was younger, because I was a kid up until I was 21. I was a kid until I was 21. You don't stop being a kid until you, well, actually, even now I'm still, but, like, you know, it's just, like, it's important that people know that they can grow out of anything that they're facing, whether it's, like, social anxiety or feeling anything, like feeling a certain way, like you can't be gentle, or you can't be you know, like soft, because maybe you don't trust people or what have you. Like, that's the thing. Like, that's another trauma point. That is, see, listen, people hear the word trauma and they go, oh, like that must be something deep or jarring. No, stop over dramatizing the word trauma. Trauma can be something amazing and very light, actually, light as a feather, and really easy to overcome because you identified it and now you can solve it as a problem, and that's it. Trauma doesn't need to be this long last. Of course, with childhood trauma, it takes some time to heal. You know, with more deeper set trauma, like life experiences and events that really scar you or alter your way of seeing yourself or reality, like that is crazy. Ask me about that. Like, I know all about that. I promise. It's a lot. But especially if you have a lot of it, you know, because it's like deep. Each one is deep. Each pain point is deep. Then you have a lot of pain points. So Seema, where do we start? Start with one. Start with one, and then the one is going to lead into the rest. And that's it. And you go from there. And you do not, under any circumstance, become fearful, number one, of the inner work that lays ahead. Number two, you do not forget that you are on a path. Because if you forget that you're on the path, you're going to let the pain overtake you. You'll be done. That many people lose their lives this way. You'll be done. You have to commit to healing and sit, because it's going to be really a crazy ride. Like, you know, buckle up, because it's hard. That's hard. Facing your problems, oh my God, like, nobody, that's horrible. Like, nobody wants to do that. That's hard. So a lot of people walk around with problems that stem from root causes, and they don't know the root causes there, so they walk around with all these external problems, like, oh, relationships and this and that. They don't realize that and even health, you know, they don't realize that the root cause is something that they need to have healed from a few years ago, like from the very beginning, you know. And then it goes way deeper than just health or relationships or money or anything. It goes back to you, how you see you, how you see your identity, how you've crafted your identity, what you think about yourself, how you feel about yourself. That's what matters, bro. Like, you live inside of you, you know? So when we go back within our minds to heal, when we go back within our subconscious mind to heal, we can sit with that kid, or we can sit with who we are now, even, actually. And we can just understand that we are the most worthy of self-recognition. We are the most worthy of self, let's say, like, not accumulation, assimilation of experiences, self-recognition of the assimilation of our experiences. Get out a damn journal and write. You know what I mean? Like, in the sense that, you know, you are worthy and deserving of writing down everything you've been through, you know, so that you can see who you are, my guy, and like how cosmic and strong and otherworldly and sweet you are, like how sweet you are. And like, I'm so sorry that the world has made you feel like you're not super sweet and super important and super in need of recognition and love and deserving of recognition and love and super friendly and everything. Like, you're everything, you know. And I wish, like, with all my heart that the world, each, like, one by one, each person heals around the world so that the world itself is healed entirely and, like, no more pain is, like, transferred to other people. Like, that's my wish. That's my wish. You know. Yeah, it can happen. It can happen. People just have to want to heal. And people need love. Like, people really do. Because I remember how I was when I was in high school. Like, I was so manic every day to the point where no one knew. I did such a good job of, like, hiding for my whole life, actually. I've always hid. No one gets me. And I like it a lot at this point. Because I've learned how to, like, use it as, like, a medium to, like, form a business, a medium to make money, a medium to form relationships, and a medium to love people and to work on my purpose and passion and to be myself. I'm very happy. The world, like, will never know me or you fully anyway. So this applies to everybody. Like, no one really knows you either, you know. But that's what's beautiful. Like, that's what I'm saying. I've realized that. I realize that nobody knows us. Nobody knows us. And I've made my peace with that. Because in high school, that used to just, like, kill me. The fact that nobody really knew what was going on inside of me. You know? I was, like, very, I don't really want to talk about it. I was just not okay. And, in the sense that I had a lot of, like, I had the ability to, like, read people, and I absorbed a lot of energy, but I just didn't know it. Like, I didn't know that I was absorbing all this energy. I didn't know that I was super sensitive. I didn't know it. So, of course, I was, like, very depressed because I didn't realize who I was. I didn't realize that I was just super, like, empathetic. What? Why can I not speak? Empathic. Super empathic person. And I still am. But I've learned how to channel that into productive ways of helping other people. So, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Speaking of productivity, I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you took something from it and are leaving better than you came. I love you very much. If this podcast favored you or sparked some interest in you, you can go ahead and rate it 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Thanks so much for listening, and I will talk to you in the next one. Peace.